Welcome back again to React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by Tabs, who want to remind you the only good space is a dead space. Episode 209, Favorite Third-Party React Native Libraries.
Robin, have you been watching the Olympics this year?
I have definitely been watching the Olympics. I actually paid $10 for a Sling TV subscription so that I could use the NBC Sports app to watch the streams, like, live as they happen in Tokyo.
Live? Okay, so that's
I don't always get to them live because a lot of them are like 2 o'clock in the morning, but
right.
I usually watch them as soon as I can, but like before the prime time, like NBC coverage.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, we have it going on our TV somewhat. Like, it's been up for sure, but I don't know, for some reason the kids haven't been as interested as they were in 2018, I think it was.
16 or 18 for the winter.
The Winter Olympics. I don't know if it was the type of sports or what, but the kids just haven't.
This Olympics has been weird, I will say. Like, it doesn't have the same kind of, like,
energy.
I don't know, magic energy that Olympics usually do. I think it's because there's no spectators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably true.
It's like all the COVID stuff has kind of, like, made it have a different feel.
I thought there was spectators.
Not public spectators.
Right.
There's, like, a handful of people in the stands. They're usually, like, press or Olympic committee people or like people from the country's Olympic team.
Today we actually have a guest host who I will announce in just a bit, or introduce, I should say. I am announcing him right now, Mazen Chami. But before then, of course, I will introduce myself. I'm Jamin Holmgren. I am the host of React Native Radio, this podcast, and CTO, co-founder of Infinite Red. With me, Robin Heinz. Robin is a senior software engineer who's also at Infinite Red working on React Native apps, and John Major Condon, who is another senior software engineer working at Infinite Red on React Native apps. So we figured we'd just stay with that theme, and we have another senior software engineer who works at Infinite Red, new this year, actually, Mazen Chami. Mazen, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Did you know we actually hire engineers based on their willingness to come on the podcast?
This is true. That's why we advertise on the podcast. And actually, Mazen, you heard about us through the podcast, right? Or was it?
Chain React was when I...
Oh, Chain React. Okay. Our conference. Yeah. Which didn't happen last year, is not happening this year.
We do a conference?
Yeah, I know. I know. I miss it.
Yeah.
2022. That's when all of our dreams will come true.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mazen lives in Durham, North Carolina. He's a former pro soccer player and pro soccer coach, which is awesome. Also, obviously, like I said, a programmer. So you used to coach women's pro soccer, Mazen, which is really cool. And I actually went to my first NWSL game, the Portland Thorns, which, by the way, Robin, have you been to the Portland Thorns? Not too far from you.
No, I haven't even been to the Timbers.
Okay. They play in the same stadium.
I'm probably going to be in Mazen's bad graces after this, but I'm not really a soccer person.
I haven't been one either, to be honest, but a friend of mine invited me to this Portland Thorns women's soccer game, and it was really fun. It was great. And I texted Mazen about it, and you said that some of the women you used to coach, they still like play in the NWSL.
Yeah. One player in particularly, Rachel Daly, she plays for the Houston Dash, and she also plays for the English national team.
Oh, that's super cool. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of a fun backstory, unusual backstory for a software engineer.
I don't think I knew that you were a pro player and a pro coach. I knew that you coached now.
Same.
Yeah. I coached out in LA. We were the LA Strikers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have to consider going to a Thorns game.
It's really fun.
I've heard from multiple people that it's really fun, especially like for, you can bring your kids and it's like.
Yeah, my friend said he's been to both Timbers, which is of course the men's, like, what is it called?
MLS.
MLS. Yeah, MLS team here. That it's like, it's almost too intense at those games. Mm-hmm. Like, people get really into it. Where at the women's game, it's just like nice, clean, pure soccer. They really play hard. There isn't like a lot of like fake injuries or anything like that. They just go.
And the fans are under control.
Maz is smirking over there.
Yeah. If you go to a Timbers and Sounders game, those can get very rowdy.
The Seattle Sounders. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a rivalry for right sure. There.
The I-5 rivalry, just 3 hours apart. Yeah. Which is probably more usual out east. Where teams are close together, but here it's just kind of like we're up on an island.
You got to drive 4 hours for the nearest rival around here.
Exactly. Well, cool. Welcome to the podcast, Mazen. Really happy to have you here. And this episode is sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design and development agency located fully remote in the US and Canada. We have years of React Native experience, now augmented by Mazen's years of React Native experience. And we have deep roots in the React Native community, which is going to come into play with our topic today, by the way. We are the best choice for your next React Native app. You can also check us out, Chain React, which will be coming back hopefully in 2022, and the React Native newsletter, which John Major is the chief editor. Is it chief editor?
Editor in chief.
One day,
assistant to the editor.
Assistant to the editor.
I don't know. You can learn more on our website, infinite.red/react-native, or email us hello@infinite.red. Don't forget to mention you heard about us through this podcast so that Todd, our CEO, and also the editor of this podcast, doesn't shut us down.
It's true. We have to keep paying the bills.
We have to pay the bills. Also, we are hiring React Native engineers. If you're a senior level React Native engineer located in the US or Canada, go to careers.infinite.red and fill out the form. And if you are a former pro player, obviously that helps. So
make sure to mention it.
Just mention that. Yeah. I actually don't think Mazen mentioned that in his application.
I don't think he did either.
Prefer the coaching part nowadays.
Maybe you should have like a field for that, a separate field.
Did you coach pro soccer and play pro soccer?
Yeah. Okay, let's get into our topic for today. Today's topic is our favorite third-party React Native libraries. We're just going to take like two each, and Robin's very sad about that because she has like 12 on her list. We're going to take like two each.
This is not sponsored, by the way. None of these libraries have any idea they're about to be mentioned.
Exactly, yeah. We'll see how many of them listen to us if they get back and give us some feedback. So let me start with John Major. Give me your first pick for one of your favorite third-party React Native libraries.
Ooh, all right. So my first one is going to be React Native Background Geolocation from TransistorSoft. It is a paid package, but it does focus on battery optimization and holistically performance. However, there is a free version called, it's the same name, but it's from Maroon85. He's the GitHub user. And I think it does do a better job at unifying the APIs between Android and iOS. However, I've used the paid version, and I think it does do a really good job at battery optimization.
Yeah, they have an interesting business model here where it's an open source system, but like if you want, what is it? Like if you want to run it on Android in production, you have to pay for a license, I think. And
yes,
like you can run it on iOS.
Oh yeah, you can play around with it in dev mode on Android.
Yeah. Yeah, dev mode free all around.
Yeah. And of course, like background geolocation is something that will burn up batteries if you're not careful how you do it. Like it's a pretty easy thing to get wrong. Yeah.
And you can get this one wrong. I've definitely stumbled across draining battery by doing things in the documentation that you're not supposed to do. So that's a nice thing. In the documentation, the author is pretty explicit on not doing certain things because they will drain battery.
I mean, this is cool. Like this is the type of library we want in the ecosystem where they've really focused on the particular problem, which background geolocation is a fairly common feature for certain types of apps. And so, you know, preserving battery and not just burning people's... I've had apps that like burn up my battery when I'm using them, and it's just no fun.
It's the worst when the phone is in your pocket and your pocket gets really hot.
Right?
You're not allowed on airplanes anymore if you're using this package.
I will say, lastly, the examples in this package are phenomenal. They have a lot of examples. They also have a YouTube channel. So the YouTube channel does help a lot too, if you're more of like a visual learner. Yeah, I really think that this is a good one.
Yeah, they also include like a really cool little web app that allows you to do like some testing, and it gives you a nice map and everything. So yeah, it's really well done. And I like this idea of having some third-party libraries that sort of push the envelope of quality and feature set and, you know, all of that, that also have a way to support themselves beyond just sort of the free time of the maintainer. Okay, Robin, have you picked a package that you'll go with out of your 45 packages for your number one?
What can I say? I really like open source software. I'm going to start with React Native Config, which should be familiar to a lot of people, but I think it's a really key library if you're working with any kind of real world environment, especially with larger companies that tend to have more complex infrastructure and multiple environments. So if you have, for example, a dev server and then a staging server and then a production server, React Native Config makes it really easy to specify things that are different between those environments, like API URLs and potentially API keys, or other things that you want to be able to configure outside of your app. And you maybe want to offload to an ops team or like another team in the company to be able to manage app build time. This lets you do that. So you can specify any number of variables in an environment file and switch that out at build time, and your app will point to the right place.
So I haven't used this directly, but I've used something like .env in the React ecosystem. How does that compare with .env?
So from what I understand, .env is completely JavaScript, whereas React Native Config has a native layer. I don't know offhand what advantages the native layer gives it, but I've had trouble with .env in the past, not handling like missing variables gracefully and other things like that. So I tend to prefer React Native Config. It's just been more robust.
Yeah, the big thing is that it actually exposes those .env variables in your native code. And that includes Android, Java, on the iOS side with Objective-C or Swift, and in Windows. So if you're doing React Native Windows, it also exposes it over there. So that's the benefit of having the native layer.
Right on.
Great. Good to know.
Even in your Gradle configuration, you can use it. So that's pretty cool.
I just had a really good experience with it. It's straightforward to set up. It works well. It follows patterns that are familiar to people in like the ops world. And so it's easy for them to pick up on it and be like, okay, I know how to do this. So yeah, it's been really key for a lot of the different projects I've worked on.
Mazen, have you used React Native Config?
Not in any past projects, no.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like if your environment settings are kind of just standard, you know, dev and prod, it's probably overkill in a lot of cases. In fact, I think in Ignite, we just require a file, like require a JSON file.
JSON file.
Which is nice because you can just kind of export your secrets from, or not secrets, ENV. I actually want to talk about that. These aren't secrets. These actually get bundled into your JavaScript code, which is readily available for anybody who wants to take the app, go into the package, and then pull those secrets out. It's like
very difficult to actually have any secrets with a React Native app.
Yeah, or any mobile app, to be honest. Yeah. I did a native app and it was compiled and everything. And a buddy of mine said, hey, send me that IPA file, the file format for iOS. And in literally like 3 minutes, he had already pulled my secrets out of it. I was like, oh, shoot, this isn't working. This was early on when I was first starting to do native iOS development. So yeah, secrets don't work here. This is just like being in a browser. So like being in a browser, you can obviously view source and go look at it. That's where those ENV variables will end up. Still useful though. Like there's still stuff you need to keep track of or settings or whatever. All right. We managed to get through one of Robin's. I'm going to go next, if that's okay. And I want to talk about React Native Screens. So I have sort of a soft spot in my heart for native navigation libraries because I built one back in the day. And React Native Screens, I think, is the unsung hero of React Navigation. It's under the hood, is integrating with the native navigation solutions. So it allows you to, you know, use the native navigation containers and, you know, obviously screens and whatnot with another navigation library. Now, the most famous of which, of course, is React Navigation. I actually, a while back, like a few years ago, was like, I kind of want to tackle this navigation thing because I wasn't super happy with what React Navigation was doing at the time. I think this was pre-version 5, so it was like a different API and stuff. And when I dug into React Native Screens, I was like, well, okay, they're already doing what I was going to do. Like, they're doing that. If I wanted to have my own API, I would just use React Native Screens and hook into that and provide the API I want. Then React Navigation did a good job of kind of converting to the new API format. So this is a little bit of a hybrid between React Native Screens and React Navigation, but more React Native Screens focused on my end.
Nice. It's one of those libraries that doesn't get a lot of glory because it's just like installed under the hood when you install React Navigation. So you don't really get to go, like, it's not like you go out seeking it and like researching it and installing it. It's just sort of taken for granted, but it does a lot.
Yeah. And in fact, it uses, or a lot of, in the README, it's showing like create native stack navigator. That comes from this library, even though you would use it mostly transparently or opaquely. Is it opaquely?
Opaquely.
React Navigation, where you're not really thinking about
React the thing Navigation gets all the glory.
It's not fair.
Right. It's sort of like a CTO and how I get all the glory for your work, right?
Exactly.
So that's my first library. Mazen, let's hear your first library.
So yeah, my first library is Victory Native from Formidable Labs.
Okay, yeah.
This is my go-to charting library. I think it's really good in how their documentation gives you like a playground where you can mess with things before you kind of implement them in your app so you can see how it is. In the past, I've used that with designers to show them what the chart would look like essentially. And they've also, you know, essentially used it to see how things would look before implementing it. And it's very easy to install. It's just, it has the dependency of React Native SVG, which I feel like everyone has these days already installed and linked.
So this is a React Native version of Victory Charts, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's also by Formidable. And so is it pretty much like the same API and everything?
Essentially, under the hood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this library kind of is like a pass-through to the core Victory library.
So what kinds of things have you had a need for charting?
Charting data points over time. One of the apps was workouts. So channeling heart rate over time, distance covered, and you know, stuff you would pull from Apple HealthKit, essentially.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, it looks really cool. And the API looks pretty neat. And the fact that it works with React Native and has a nearly identical API to the Victory, like JavaScript, or I guess React. Is it React? It's React.
Yeah.
Victory is React. Okay. Is a big win. So you could conceivably also use this in a cross-platform web and mobile project.
Correct.
Yeah, that's, you would awesome, have to handle the SVG portion, I think. I don't know if React Native SVG, like there's React Native Web SVG, so you'd have to do something a little bit custom to get it to work from that side. But
at the very least, you could share your knowledge of the API between the two. Mm-hmm. But it'd be interesting to play around with it and see if there's a way to get it to work on both web and mobile.
Shout out to our friends at Formidable for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. We've known Formidable for a long time. Have a lot of friends over there.
Something I noticed is the API is really thick. Mm. There's a lot of plotting that one can do. I'm not a person who's really too familiar with all the different charts that one needs, but boy, am I seeing so many. And they're all really nice and well-designed.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, the one thing that I look for a lot in charting libraries are also animation and how smooth they are. This one does a really good job with that. Mm-hmm. But I do agree, you know, the package is big and you do have a lot of stuff sometimes you might not use. Sometimes you might just need a bar chart and a line chart. But essentially, you've installed all of them.
One last thing about Victory. It's cool because if you go to their website, they have a chart of downloads of Victory.
That's cool.
Over time, which is a great way to kind of demonstrate its capabilities. It'd be hilarious if they used some competitor for that, though. All right. Back to you, Robin. What's number two?
Number two. So I'm going to cheat a little bit and talk about two different libraries for this one.
Whoa. Yeah,
of course.
Whoa. Breaking the rules.
Whoa. The first is a little library called React Native Spin Kit by MaxS15 is the GitHub user.
MaxS1 through 14 were already taken. So.
This is just a cool little library of a collection of different loading animations as alternatives to the activity indicator that comes standard with React Native. It's not super complicated, but it was just like, I remember using it the first time and it was just an overall really pleasant experience. It just works really well. Like it does have native components. You have to link it. And I think it has auto linking now, but really beautiful animations, a really nice like showcase. There's a showcase website and an example app with all the different spinners. Really easy to pick one. I just remember having a really pleasant experience with it. And it adds a little bit of something different to your app besides the spinner that everyone is used to seeing. So I just wanted to shout out that little library.
Yeah, just looking at the example app, I'm seeing circle flip, bounce, wave, wandering cubes, pulse, chasing dots, three bounce, circle, nine cube grid, WordPress, fading circle, alt, arc alt. So there's like a bunch of different presets there that are pretty cool.
Yeah, lots of different things to choose from. They're all really nicely made, beautiful animations. So yeah, check out React Native Spin Kit if you want to add some different flavor to your loading animations. And the other one is also a nice UX library, which I think a lot of people will be familiar with. But React Native Vector Icons is a really classic React Native library that just gives you an insane number of free icons to use around your app. Really easy to install, really easy to use. There's a really great companion website that lets you search through the various icon packs for what you need. Pretty much anything you could think of, there's an icon for it.
Yeah, and it seems to work on everything, like React Native Mac OS, React Native Windows, React Native Web.
It also looks like they have some buttons with preset icons. So log in with Facebook, follow me on Twitter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have the social media buttons, and it's all open source, free to use. No more like trying to go to those like quote unquote free icon websites where you can only download it for free if you like credit them at the bottom, or you can't download any size greater than like 10 pixels or something ridiculous. But yeah, and they're all vectors. So they're not like huge PNGs filling up your app. But yeah, really pleasant, really great docs. Yeah, really great library overall. And I think a lot of people have probably heard of it, but wanted to mention it.
We've bundled React Native Vector Icons in Ignite for years and years, probably from the very beginning, I think. And so that's been a part of our standard stack forever.
Well, and that like just goes to show how long it's been around. And how long it's been just the standard solution. It's still pretty much the library that you reach for.
Yeah, it has 15,000 stars on GitHub, which is that's pretty decent. Cool. This time I'm going to go right back to Mazin. Mazin, what's your second one?
My next one is React Native Calendar Strip. I've used this a couple times. I think I mentioned in the last app using pulling heart rate data for workouts. Mm-hmm. This was the perfect like companion app. Package that I installed to help, you know, users see what days they've done workouts and where there's data. Their documentation is really good. Similar to my other one, it has a lot of props and all, but it is very smooth and animating and, you know, performance not taking up as much, which I kind of like and some of the metrics I look for when picking an app. And they're very active. The Buggy Dev, who is the owner of this package, is very active on the issues and pull requests. And that's also something, you know, in some packages these days, They tend right. to fall off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, I maintain some open source libraries myself, and which I noticed none of you selected as your favorites.
I'm watching you. Meant to. let's see what happened was.
You know, I feel like this podcast is already enough of an advertisement for Infinite Red.
That's true. Yeah. No, this is a cool library. So for those of you listening and not Googling everything right away, it's a component. So I'm looking at like the GIF on the README. It's a component that has like a left arrow and a right arrow, and it's kind of like horizontally laid out. At the top, it has your like the month and year you're looking at. And then within the field in the middle is this horizontally scrolling view that has like Monday the 1st, Tuesday the 2nd, Wednesday the 3rd. And so you can just scroll left and right by just dragging your finger left and right to see, you know, future dates, past dates, maybe tap on them. And it looks like there's also like a dot underneath it. So like Mazen said, you could, you know, show activity or whatever content.
Very customizable too. Sometimes, you know, it'll be missing a couple props and you can't change the color to match your theme. You can't style a certain, you know, in this case, a certain day, a certain way. All these props are available for you to do that. So it's very helpful and easy in that sense.
I'm pretty sure I implemented this exact thing from scratch on a project a few years ago, not knowing that this was a thing.
This exists.
It does seem very specific.
Probably would have had a better time if I knew about this. Because, yeah, that's not an easy thing.
I think it's been around a long time.
Does this come with Moment? I see some references to Moment.js.
It looks like it's an optional dependency, basically, where if you have it and you pass it Moment stuff, it'll be like, I know what this is.
Mm-hmm. But does it install Moment?
It formats the date as a Moment date or a pure date. So whatever you pass it, it'll recognize either or.
So does it install Moment in your bundle?
It does, actually. It is a dependency.
It's a regular dependency. Yeah. So
you're going to be bringing Moment along if you use this.
I mean, if you're already using Moment, hopefully Yarn will take care of that for you and not install it twice.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like it's a fairly loose dependency. It's just like anything above 2.2. So that will help it. Luckily, Moment doesn't change much over.
Well, it's like not being actively maintained anymore, right?
Right.
So it's not changing.
Maybe bug fixes, but they're not. Right. Like,
they're maintaining it. They're not actively adding to it. There's some
new stuff out there. Yep. Cool. So that does it for Mazen's stuff. John Major, what's your second one?
All right. So my last one is going to be React Native Pop Overview. Now, Mazen knows this package because he and I worked on putting this into our client app together. Originally, I had tried doing a React Native popover tooltip myself, all customized, and I failed miserably. All the math there was a little bit too much, but this one came in handy. Again, we worked together and we put this in there pretty quickly. It comes with a really nice, flexible API. It also comes with different packages included, like JS tooltip, React Native modal, and one other package that I'm forgetting, but you can switch out the tooltip for those different packages. And the last thing is also written fully in TypeScript. So when you're, you know, writing out your component, referencing it, you have strong types right there for you.
This did make what we were working on much easier at the end of the day. So I think it is a really good library for this use case.
Popovers are a difficult thing to implement, especially if you're trying to roll your own. Like trying to get it to render above everything and in the right place every time is sometimes not super fun. So it's nice to have a library that does it for you.
It wasn't. There was also the boundaries of the device itself you got to take in consideration. So the screen height and width. There's a lot of variables.
This could be the greatest README I've ever seen in my life. I swear, this is so cool. I've just been scrolling it as you all are talking, not listening to you at all, just reading because it is awesome. It is amazing. So I just got to go through this. I have to. Table of contents, Then a bullet list of popover features, just a simple like 7 points bullet list there. Links over to a demo app, couple lines of how to install, and then the usage examples.
There's so many.
It's just like, it starts from the simplest.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, this is the dead simplest, easiest possible use case. Okay, showing popover from an element. And then it talks about it and it shows a code example, which includes, by the way, all the imports you need. Okay, mm-hmm. So you can just copy it in.
That's a huge pet peeve of mine, is when there's a code example, but doesn't tell you how to get all the rest of it. Like, no, tell me where to import.
And then just draw the rest of the owl.
Yeah, exactly.
Truth be told, when I found this package, I thought it was just a React package because it felt like home. It felt like there was a lot of documentation there. And the only thing that I was missing was Storybook. I feel like a lot of...
Are you saying React Native packages are not as good as React packages at documentation?
That is exactly what he's saying.
I don't mean it like that, though.
I thought it was React because it was actually good.
Oh, man. But truthfully, though, this one, I did feel like, oh, this is really good. It's different than what I found before. Given that this one is a component package, so they have mm-hmm. a lot of examples.
Yeah, it's amazing. And like it just goes from like by the very end, it's got like way more complex things. But even then, like the API is really straightforward. And then they have a table with all the props, what type they are, what the default is, and a good description of what it does. And then some other stuff, troubleshooting. And upgrading of, I don't know, like this is an amazing README. Kudos to Steffi Dev, who is, let's see, sorry, I'm trying to, Peter Steffi, who I'm going to follow him on GitHub for a fantastic README there. That's awesome. Hopefully the library works as well as the README.
I'm going to follow him too.
And I'm going to star the repository.
You didn't used to do that, right?
I am a terrible GitHub star.
GitHub starer.
I don't think about it. Like, it's not part of, like, I don't know. It's just, it's not in my head as a thing that I should do or can do or need to do. But I know I need to start doing it. A, yeah. Because it's just, like, a good way to support libraries that you like. B, I've discovered that, like, GitHub actually has, like, some cool features for discovering new packages that are sort of smart based on the stuff that you've starred in the past. And so because I hadn't starred very many things, that was pretty sparse.
Yeah. How often do you go to GitHub.com? Just GitHub.com?
Not very often, but I did for this podcast.
Yeah. And like it will show you what activity people you follow. Like if you follow, I like to follow people that are interesting on GitHub and then you see like what they star. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that gives you a lot of cool. We used to have a guy that worked at, man, we're getting way off the beaten path here. We had a guy who worked at Infinite Red, Steve Kellogg.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
You're probably not listening.
but he doesn't do React Native anymore. But one thing that's cool about Steve is like he would go and like scroll through this and find interesting packages.
He started so many things. Like, he would just like, that's what he would do in his like downtime.
That was his social media.
Read through the readmes of like cool little packages. Like make a note to check them out later. Yeah, it was his social media. It was GitHub.
It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, he has starred 3,500 libraries.
Oh my goodness!
That's incredible. Cool. Well, we should probably get to my last one. I think all of the rest of you have given at least two of your many picks. I'm looking at you, Robin. My second one is one of my favorite ones for sure, and it's React Native Gifted Chat. I'm a big fan of this. We use this on an app that I actually worked on. I actually did, you know, real code on. And I don't remember if I installed this or selected this, but I was the one who kind of like implemented the full functionality once it was in there. And it is a really good like chat interface UI library. So it allows you to kind of have almost like an iMessage-like feel for your app. And then I hooked it up to Firebase on the back end so we could subscribe to new messages that would come in and then display them for the user. And then when you would post a new message, then it would, you know, it would show it as yours. One thing I really liked about it is that it has a good README. It has a lot of examples. And at the time, at least, it had very active, you know, responses if I had any issues. So I was pretty impressed with it. And it's very full feature. There's a lot to it. You can customize the chat to look how you want it to look. And it just feels like, you know, how you would expect chat to feel.
There's a snack playground, too.
Oh, that's cool. Expo Snack. Yeah.
Yep.
I've used Gifted Chat on a different app as well. And I had the same experience. It does the difficult part of chat UI for you. Because chat UI is really hard to do, like keeping track of like which side you're supposed to put the bubbles on per like based on which user, especially if you're talking about group chat and stuff, can be really difficult. And it handles all that for you and then lets you customize everything else. So it doesn't like prescribe what your UI needs to look like. It lets you customize all of that and then just handles the hard stuff for you.
I have not used this library, but just looking at it now, I kind of want to mess around with it. And it's pretty cool that you can hook it up to Firebase and use it, mm-hmm. you know, with your own backend and whatnot. That's pretty cool. And it is React Native webable, according to his docs.
Yeah. Yeah. It works well with Expo. We actually used it in an Expo app. So it works well with Expo.
It really has become the default chat UI library. Yeah.
I think it's all JavaScript too. So mm-hmm. that's helpful. Sometimes it's good to have the native layer, but being all JavaScript just makes it more portable. All right. Well, those are our, or at least some of our favorite third-party React Native libraries. There are a lot that we did not get to because, you know,
we'll have to do another episode like this.
I would love to do it. We could do another episode like this. We could do a segment. I don't know. I feel like third-party libraries need more love out there in the community. And so definitely wanted to get to that. We don't have time today to get to the What's New with React Native newsletter, but go to, actually on Twitter, if you go to @RN newsletter, you can see the latest there. We did have a weird bug, but don't have time to get to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll try to introduce that later. Where can people find you? John Major, where are you at?
John Major C everywhere.
Cool. And Robin?
I'm @Robin_Hines on Twitter.
I'm @Jamin Holmgren. And then Mazen, where are you at?
@MazenChami. One word.
MazenChami. Mazen Chami.
You probably don't have a lot of trouble getting your full name as a username.
No. Gmail too.
Yeah.
Well, now you know how to email Mazen. With any complaints about this episode, that's where they go. @ReactNativeRDIO on Twitter for the React Native Radio Twitter. Please do tweet to us and tell us what you think. You know, any compliments on our selections, any complaints that we missed out on something really important. I don't know.
Hey, maybe we'll feature it next time.
Yeah, we might. Absolutely.
Worth a shot.
As always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth, our transcript and release coordinator, Jed Bartoski, our social media coordinator, Missy Warren, and our designer, Justin Husky. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out, infinite.red/ReactNative. Special thanks to all of you listening today. Make sure to subscribe and also share this with someone else who you think might be interested in finding out about more third-party libraries. The third-party ecosystem in React Native is pretty awesome. So, reminder, we are hiring careers.infinite.red, and we will see you all next time.
Bye.